Welcome to the Devin Nunes Podcast, breaking through the political noise, separating fact from fiction. From the San Joaquin Valley, the breadbasket of the solar system, here is your host, Devin Nunes.
Welcome back to the Devin Nunes Podcast, coming to you from downtown Clovis at 559 Beer. We're with a Clovis City Councilman, Vong Manitua. He's actually part of the great Hmong community here in the San Joaquin Valley, and we're going to have a nice conversation because I think a lot of people around the United States and all over California don't even know what Hmong are or where they come from. It's spelled H-M-O-N-G, so that's not Hmong, it's Hmong.
That's correct.
Vong, welcome to the program. Thanks a lot for being part of the podcast.
Thank you for having me, Devin. Thank you for having me.
Okay, so you were born in Laos.
Yes.
My history is very weak on this, but I have been to Laos before as part of my oversight duties for intelligence. And of course, there's a big history there during Vietnam,
yes,
the role that Laos and Cambodia played in,
yes,
the trails that ran into Vietnam.
Mm-hmm.
And the Hmong people were very supportive of our U.S. military, and in fact,
yes,
saved a lot of lives of U.S. soldiers, men and women, throughout the Vietnam War. However, the history of the Hmong people begins before that, because essentially you were driven out. The Hmong people originated in southern China,
yes,
as I understand.
Right.
And in the
right.
1500s, they were driven south and essentially have no homeland anymore,
yes,
no homeland left.
So they were pretty much persecuted in southern China. And so pretty much they sent their sons to scout where we can go next. And so that...
And this is in the
1500s. And so that's when it led to people coming through the hills, coming to the northern hills of Laos. And that's where the Hmong started to stay. They would go back and try to get more family back, but very few were able to make the migration down to Laos.
So ultimately, the Hmong people that were left in
China
were massacred,
mm-hmm,
right?
Either that or they were
genocide.
Enslaved. Mm-hmm. And if you visit there, they're still the largest Hmong population in the world is still in southern China.
Still there.
Yeah, still there.
Same language.
Same language. Mm-hmm. And so when you speak to them, you can understand. You'll see their clothing, the embroidery. It's the same. And so the Hmong who have been here as scholars go back and they actually discovered, oh, we have the same tradition, the same customs, same language. And they would tell stories of, you know who we sent down? We sent the smartest of our people down to get away. And so technically we should be the smartest ones. But
but then you get to Laos,
mm-hmm,
right? And then a lot of bad things happened during the
yeah.
Vietnam era. Well, both before that. I mean, you've always been a persecuted people. But I'm assuming during the days of problems in Cambodia, even after the war, a lot of you were being hunted down. A lot of your family and villages were being hunted down.
Yeah.
By the then communist Vietnamese.
Yeah. See, Hmong people overall love freedom. And so we love freedom. And so when it was a French colony, they would come and tax the Hmong up in the hills. So the Hmong people would say, why are you taxing us and yet not represent us?
Important part of history I forgot. So that whole area at the time in the 30s and 40s and 50s was a French colony.
Yes, it was. And so we actually started a war with the French. And, you know, a little mini war, they call it sort of the Hmong-French War, where the French were trying to tax. And we said, no, it's almost like America, no taxation without representation. So we said, you know, you can't tax because we're not receiving any services here up in the hills.
Mm-hmm.
And so it came finally where they raised leadership. You know, they started to appoint leadership within the hills, the tribes, so that way it would be some equal representation. And so that happened there. And then that led to...
The U.S. comes in.
U.S. comes in.
And the history books say that some of our intelligence services and both defense intelligence and others came in and worked directly with the Hmong people,
yeah,
to set up supply lines in order to gather intelligence in Vietnam,
yeah,
for what became the Vietnam War.
Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it's really known as the secret war because, you know, no one's supposed to be in Laos. A sovereign nation cannot bring the military into Laos. So, but we also didn't. We also knew our you know grandfathers knew if Vietnam fell, Laos would fall next.
Mm-hmm.
So we didn't want to be communist, and so we were willing to fight to stop you know the Ho Chi Minh trail to make sure Vietnam doesn't fall, because during that time the leadership in Laos was split. One was for democracy, and the other one was siding along with Vietnam. And so we knew that if we didn't fight, we didn't stop this, if Laos fell, we all would then be under communist rule. Mm-hmm. And none of the elders wanted to be under communist rule.
So we work, the United States comes in. I mean, you're obviously, well, you're not even born yet. It's royal. Well, you're born right during the Vietnam War, right? So what are some of the stories you think that, that would be interesting? Like how many Hmong people worked with the Americans?
Pretty much, it's always been said that a third of our people died fighting, protecting freedom, protecting, you know, Laos. And so you figured pretty much every family, as long as you were old enough to bear arms, you volunteered and fought alongside with General Vang Pao, along with America to try to stop the war. I mean, what happened was we never had a city. And with the war, it created a city, Long Cheng. And we actually learned commerce. We learned English. We learned currency. We also learned how to fight. We learned how to fly planes. And so I think the greatest thing we've done was we were charged with rescuing every downed American pilot. And so every time there was a call that someone was down, we sent our troops in to rescue the pilot, to bring him back. And then even if it was a deceased pilot, we would recover the body so that way it can be brought home.
And they come back to Long Cheng. And then U.S. forces would pick them up there and take them back. Obviously take them back to the U.S. if they were a casualty or get them the proper medical care.
Yes, yes.
Okay, so what is the, if someone wanted to read or watch something of interest that would be an accurate reflection from your family's view, because General Vang Pao lived, he eventually migrated to here, but what would be a good book or movie that someone could watch if they wanted to learn more about this?
PBS did a special last year, and so sort of the Secret War, and it focused a lot on Central Valley families, and it's like a several episodes, and it was aired, and I think you can search on YouTube and you just search Laos or Hmong and Secret War, and it'll have a PBS special.
Okay.
So we'll share about that.
So what year did you immigrate, and talk about that process? I mean, I know you were only a little boy, but I'm sure your
76.
Brothers and others. So 1976, you left where?
We left the camp, refugee camps of Thailand. So in
so
the
how
middle
did you get,
of 75.
How did you get from the... You had to flee Laos. Your family had to flee Laos and go to Thailand.
Yeah. I mean, the story goes, you know, that my father, they had five brothers. And my father and his older brother were the most educated. One was a mayor in a province in Laos. And my father was a magistrate of the court, the two most educated in our family. They had a meeting of the brothers. And they said, the two of them said, we need to stay. And then so they took a vote, and the other three, who were just laborers, won. So we said, okay, then we'll take off. So in the middle of the night, they rented a flat military bed truck, you know, secured river boats to get us across, and got to Thailand, stayed there in the refugee camps of Ban Vin Ai for several years until we were sponsored by a church down in Orange County, Torrance, L.A. County there. And so that's when we came in 76, November 15, 1976.
You landed in where? LAX?
No, we landed in San Francisco, then to LAX. And then the church picked us up and put us in a couple apartments. It was very fortunate because the oldest cousin, or the oldest brother, this oldest son in our family, was actually educated and knew English. We sent him to the Philippines, and he got a bachelor's degree. So when he came here, he already knew how to speak English. So a lot of the people, because he was there, a lot of people came to Santa Ana, and that's where the largest population was. We didn't have any skills, and our skill was farming, and that's when they found Fresno and, you know, sort of the Central Valley.
Right, and all through the 80s and the 90s, a lot of Hmong are here, along with the Armenians and Portuguese and Mexicans and all the great cultures that are here in the valley. So then you're one of 10?
One of 10.
You get here in 96, and you have a law degree.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
You come to Fresno, you have a law degree, and then you get elected to city council.
Yeah.
I mean, it's amazing. Yeah. It's an amazing story. You're born in Laos and live in a refugee camp, and now you're on the city council here in Clovis. It's a great story, Vaughn. Thanks a lot for joining us this week. We're coming to you from downtown Clovis, 559 Beer. It's a great place. They're in Clovis and in Shaver Lake. So if you're from out of town and you want to go up to the mountains, get up to Shaver Lake, and you can experience a great, great beer, several beers, a lot of flavored beers, including their latest almond beer. So, Bon, thanks again.
No, thank you, Devin.
This is Devin Nunes. We'll catch you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Devin Nunes Podcast. We invite you to subscribe so you don't miss a single episode. And remember, you can download this podcast on iTunes or at devinnunes.com.
Storm clouds been gathering so long, I don't know.
The darkness around us leaves no easy road.
We started wondering if every road dead ends our dreams.
Wind whips the dust up and rain's pouring down.
Good people struggling in every hometown.
We started wondering if we even matter at all. That hard road to happier days. 'Cause we kept our American faith.
Now it's not our first trial by fire like this.
It's nothing hard work and family can't fix.
We've got the power to save it all here in our hands. Take that hard road to happier days. 'Cause we kept our American faith. As we, the people, free and strong, fight through the dark night toward the dawn. We're already half the way there. We'll take that hard road to happier days. 'Cause we kept our American faith.
Paid for by Devin Nunes Campaign Committee.